Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 254 of your favorite Formula One show. Yes, Knowing Wheel returns for the Italian Grand Prix preview, of course. We're back this weekend at the Temple of Speed, the Autodromo Nazionale di Monza. And of course, it's been a little while since Jamie183 last went on holiday. So, Jamie, you're off to the Grand Prix this weekend. Are you excited? Are you packed?
Very excited. I'm not packed yet. For context, it's currently 8:22 in the morning on Thursday. And I fly at like 5 to 4 this afternoon. So, but I am working for 3.5 hours in the meantime. So,
wow, yeah, full time 183 over there, ladies and gents. He's a man of the people.
I might as well take a half day instead of a full day when I'm flying at 4 o'clock. So, yeah, there we go. I'm very excited. It's going to be really hot all weekend. Very, very fun.
Yeah, I'm not at all jealous that Jamie gets to go to. Have you been to a Grand Prix this year already? Did you go to Imola? No, that was last year, wasn't it? You went to Imola.
I don't have the budget for more than 1 year, sadly.
Don't have the budget for more than 1 year, but when was the last time you went on holiday?
2 weeks ago. But that was that holiday cost me about 100 quid.
Here we go.
This one has cost a bit more than that.
Man of the people, 183, ladies and gentlemen. There we are. But yeah, I mean, Monza this weekend, of course, we spoke about Zandvoort and obviously the weirdly interesting but fairly boring Grand Prix back at Zandvoort, of course, helped by kind of big moments of chaos, and then the rest of it was, I mean, it was Zandvoort, wasn't it? It's just quite difficult to overtake at. But it feels like coming into this weekend, Jamie, we've got quite a lot of storylines suddenly to go through. Not only on track, but of course it's Formula One, so a lot of the conversation is off track. So I say we start off then with Stefano Domenicali. He's been coming out with some interesting stuff, hasn't he? He wants V8 engines, shorter races, sprint weekends, and a whole lot more.
Yeah, and I think some of this might happen, but I'm not sure all of it. It springs of Jeremy. I mean, you probably don't know because it's football, but when Gianni Infantino first came into the FIFA presidency, which is obviously the body that runs global football.
Most football, yeah.
Yeah. He was like, we need to make the matches shorter, we need bigger goals.
Yes,
we need more.
I do remember this, yeah.
And everyone just memed it because it was like they want Disney Channel football rather than and some of it springs of that, but some of it actually sounds quite good, especially the V8 engines. And it sounds like manufacturers are a bit on board with that. So that could be exciting. That would be a big rule change. Sebastian Vettel in Russia 2019 would get his wish finally, bring back. Well, no, he wouldn't quite, would he?
He said V12s, to be fair. He said V12s. That's what he said.
He never drove a V12, did he?
Yeah, but he owns one, I'm pretty certain.
And they blew up all the time.
Yeah, but imagine if you tried to do a V6 hybrid back in the late 80s. Do you not think would have blown up all the time?
There'd been no one finishing those races. Yeah, exactly. But the V8 era, Mark II, could be back by 2030. Which,
or even earlier than
worryingly
that, potentially,
isn't that far away.
No. I mean, it's one of those big things, isn't it? Because we kind of look at hybrid and electric car technology, and since it came into Formula One just over 10 years ago, it has moved massively, hasn't it, in the sport? Mm. And obviously, you know, in the general automotive world, it's massively come along as well. But there's still been this element, hasn't there, of it hasn't quite replaced. It's been more of a, you know, a very viable alternative for some people. Like, my parents have got an electric car. They absolutely love it. And I think the next car I probably buy, not for me personally, but for my partner, will likely be an electric car. But for most people, they would say you want one electric and one still internal combustion or a hybrid or something like that. And it's... Yeah. I mean, the bigger thing for Formula One, isn't it, of course, is it's just the sheer cost of them. Develop a Formula One hybrid engine, the costs have been absolutely astronomical. And of course, you know, I've banged on about it for years as well. Biofuel. If you can make fuel out of plants that obviously doesn't have any net impact on the environment.
Yeah.
All the engines we've already got going with no kind of changes required. That's very probably minimal. Far greener than mining up every resource we can possibly find in the earth.
Yeah, exactly. Because electric hybrid engines are not easy to make, and they take in quite a lot of non-renewable resource as well.
Yeah.
In terms of the technology into the batteries and
It's something ridiculous, isn't it? Like, you'd have to drive a Toyota Prius like 80,000 miles before it offsets. Like a big American Ford Raptor or something in terms of the emissions to build the car combined.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Jeremy Clarkson's been saying that for about 20 years, to be fair to him. But yeah, I'm not denying that we need to do something to avoid the normal fuel.
There you go. Jamie 183 is a climate change denier. To be fair, you fly about as much as Taylor Swift, don't you?
Yeah, but she's not flying on an airplane full of 400 people at once, is she? So.
I love the fact you agree you fly around as much as Taylor Swift.
Well, she's going to get married now, isn't she? She's probably going to have to settle down.
I assume she'll go down the aisle in a jumbo jet.
Are you going to watch Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift's love story?
What is that? I don't keep up
with any of this. The next year they got engaged, so, you know, there's going to be wedding planning, lots of fun stuff like that.
I mean, if Last212 is listening to this, she already just finds... Well, not hilarious, but I think she genuinely finds it slightly sad that I could not care less.
She makes good music, so you should listen.
Does she?
Well, she used to. I've not listened to much recently. But...
Fair enough.
There we go. We'll digress from Taylor Swift.
My ability to keep up with pop culture is hilariously bad, so...
Well... Fair enough. You are a full-time YouTuber, to be fair.
Only we could go from V8 engine to Taylor Swift inside 4 minutes. That's impressive even by our standards. As to just how quickly we've gone on a ramble.
Exactly. I like the idea of it.
So do I. It would be fantastic to get a little bit of variety back.
I read an article on The Race to verify my sources. They're talking 2030, which would be the next... big rule change due anyway. So obviously we've got the one in 26 coming next year. The likes of Ford, Audi, Cadillac are all planning on making their own. Well, Ford are backing Red Bull Powertrain. Sorry, they're all planning on making their own engines. All of these new ones seem a bit happier because obviously, even if it's an F1 V8, a V8 engine is something they already know how to make. Whereas, apart from Red Bull Powertrains, whereas the MGUH and hybrid technology would be brand new for most of these manufacturers. Especially when they're trying to get Honda back in as well and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Honda already are back in, aren't they? But yeah, it's good news. Back in.
Yeah.
But it would also change the chassis development and it would basically be a whole new reg cycle in 2030.
I mean, what I would love to see personally is Formula One maybe go down like the World Endurance route of you get... So the way World Endurance works is you get a certain amount of energy that you can use each lap, whether that be battery or engine, but there's no restrictions aside of that. So that's why in like WEC you've got like a V12 naturally aspirated Aston Martin Valkyrie against I think it's a 4 or 6 pot engine in the Porsche. Obviously the V8 in the Cadillac and all sorts of things. That would be really cool. Like, imagine you end up with like V8s, V10s, V12s all going
like
against each other on an even playing field.
On that would be massive.
It, but again, it's obviously because you're only allowed to use a certain amount of energy a lap, it's still about being the most resourceful and efficient with it. Exactly.
That would be interesting.
It'd be fascinating. I mean, the V8 engines, like we said, I think is the bit that we do quite like the sound of. Shorter races, more sprints, Jamie? Is this the way Formula One should be going?
I don't love it, personally.
I get so worried when Domenicali brings up stuff like this, because he goes, he said a quote yesterday that like made my brain hurt, was that apart from the diehard fans, people love it. Like, they want Shaw to race. Like, apparently every circuit on the calendar wants a sprint weekend. Never make Monaco a sprint weekend, please, for the love of all the Tony. But it just screams of early 2000s NASCAR, and I'm so worried.
I don't hate sprint races. I think they are fine. I think
in moderation.
The events that you have them, I quite like.
More.
I quite like them because you lose practice sessions. But then what I really don't like is the idea that sprint races could replace Grand Prix or shorten Grand Prix. Yeah, just because for 70-odd years, the Grand Prix has been, well, maybe not that long. They used to be really long, didn't they? But for at least 60 years, they've been 300 kilometres plus a lap. That's every race does that many laps, apart from Monaco. And I just think you would lose a bit of the history if you start changing length of races. And also the speed the cars go. You know, when Singapore first debuted, that was going on for 2 hours because the cars were 15 seconds a lap slower.
Yeah, helped massively by a very different circuit as well. Yes, Singapore's had probably one of the most drastic changes.
But only in the last sector, hasn't it? It's not...
No, you've got to remember the Singapore sling and then the change of the Anderson Bridge as well. The circuit has been made a lot quicker gradually.
It has, but now that race even is like an hour 40 at tops. Even, and most races land between an hour 20 and an hour 40 unless it's stinted by red flags and safety cars. People can concentrate for an hour 20, an hour 40. People still go to the cinema and go to football matches and like...
It feels like movies are getting longer. Maybe I'm old.
Exactly. Just because the TikTok generation can only look at stuff for 5 seconds. Even those people who sing to a cinema, they're fine. Like, I don't go to cinema with children very often, but...
very often? And Match 2023 gets cancelled.
Yeah, goodbye everyone. I won't be here next week. I should correct that to not at all. Yeah, I just think, it screams of old man clutching at straws with Domenicali.
I mean, again, it just is like this boom of, like, exactly like NASCAR went through in the very early 2000s of, you know, you gain a huge amount of popularity and you've kind of got to expect that, you know, seasons like 2021, Drive to Survive brings a lot of people in short term. You've got to kind of expect that, yes, you'll keep some of those people around because they'll kind of fall in love with what people that were watching the sport beforehand fell in love with. But everybody that ever watches a Grand Prix, not all of those people are going to keep up. The amount of people I know that their way of watching Formula One is they'll just watch Drive to Survive. Like at the start of the next season. They'll watch Drive to Survive and that's their fix for the year.
And actually,
they might watch like the British Grand Prix or something like that. What Formula One need to be doing if they want to try and get more eyes on it is not locking it behind paywalls in most countries. Put it back on like the BBC or Channel 4 or something like that. So people in the UK aren't having to pay £30 a month to watch it. That's how you get more people watching the sport.
Yeah, but also, I know it's all about growth and revenue, but like the sport has grown since 2021. In terms, it's still on an upward trajectory. Even now,
it's plateaued a lot since
I saw a stat on LinkedIn, which maybe was not
true.
Here
we go. Is this about how you do B2B marketing? That's all LinkedIn is, isn't it?
No, well, it pretty much is, yeah. But it was like a graph showing the viewership of Formula One I think it was just the UK, to be honest. But it has definitely increased since 2021. So 2021 was obviously a peak, and then it immediately kind of did drop when 2022 wasn't such a good season, but then since then it's really not grown hugely, but it's on an upward trajectory. And
what, from like 22-23 onward?
Yeah. And F1, you know, it is a global sport, it is a fantastic sport, we both love it, but it's never going to be the biggest sport in the world. It's never going to be one of the biggest three sports in the world, arguably, when you think of global audience. So is it okay to have an audience that's plateauing, and you've got tons of... Every race is sold out. Every race is...
And not every race is sold out, though, now, is it? This is like Zandvoort,
I guess,
for example.
Zandvoort wasn't, but that's...
Last weekend they were struggling to sell tickets. Yeah. It's that thing, isn't it? And again, this it goes back to NASCAR, because what they obviously tried to do back in the early 2000s was chase the numbers of like the NFL and stuff. You know, just kind of recognize your place. F1 is never going to be bigger than football. It feels like the only season where it felt like F1 even remotely challenged was 2021. But that was a lightning in the bottle season.
And there was no World Cup, no European Championships. Like, 2021's a pretty boring season in terms of football, especially COVID, no fans in the stadiums. Like,
2021 was a lot better for fans and things, stuff like that. But, I mean, it was just that thing of, like, 2021 was that lightning in the bottle.
Yeah.
You know, we get one of those. We're lucky to get one of those every 10 years kind of thing.
Yeah.
You get other championships that, you know, can go down to the wire and things like that. But, you know, you're putting that up there with very few other seasons, you would argue, throughout Formula One history. There's, you know, I think a lot of people, it would be a fair argument to make, wouldn't it, that obviously apart from those last 5 minutes in Abu Dhabi, I think a lot of people make the argument it was the greatest Formula One season.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Season of all time.
Well, it was phenomenal. Yeah, in terms of, you had two absolute top drivers, like some of the greatest of their generation. You had two highly, highly elite teams going at it, and they would hold nothing back in going at each other.
I mean, they were throwing everything at it.
Yeah. You look at 2016, even 2014, even this season, really, with the team McLarens, it may go to the wire. It may go down to the last race. But because it's within the team, there's a bit more respect.
It doesn't feel as brutal. I mean, I hate to quote it, but it was Jacques Villeneuve saying at the weekend, wasn't it, that an inner team rivalry is nothing like two teams going at each other.
Especially, you know, when it's Christian and Toto, they absolutely hate each other.
Yeah, it is very, very different. It's kind of, like we said with sprint racing, I mean, some of them still feel a bit odd. Like I understand why Shanghai was a sprint weekend. But let's be fair, for like a Grand Prix to get eyes on, it was, it was arguably the worst one for Formula One for Lewis to win, because most people in a huge part of the earth were asleep. It's the only race or qualifying I haven't watched this year, because it was like 3 a.m.
Maybe you should watch less than Hamilton might
win. Yeah, that's what I keep thinking. I should just stop watching and Lewis will start winning.
And some sprints have actually been all right. So I think Austria or 2 years ago now was pretty good, the wet one.
Changeable conditions massively helps, though. And even then, it's no guarantee. Belgium last year was pretty dull.
Yeah. Kota last year was awful. That was literally a procession.
And there are some that you still question.
Yeah.
Like, it's the thing, isn't it? Like, some sprints have the, you know, I think there's got to be an argument that Silverstone gets another one, because the last couple of Grand Prix have been brilliant.
Yeah, I think Brazil is always a good shout.
Brazil, you know, there's a reason why Brazil pretty much... Has Brazil had one every year, or did they miss out one year?
They missed one or two, yeah.
I think it was 22, wasn't it, they missed?
I don't think they had one 24.
They definitely have. Apart from Austria for Spa, the other five sprints
are
the same.
Team orders, didn't they, the McLarens, to get Norris an extra point last year.
Yeah.
I think sprints... In a calendar of 24, I feel like 6 is about enough. If they went up to 8, I wouldn't be that upset.
Like we said, it depends more on where they do the sprints than anything else. Like, I'm staggered still, and I can assume the only reason why they don't is because the race is on a Saturday. I'm staggered they don't do a Vegas one. Jeddah, I think, would be a fascinating one with only one practice session before you go into sprint quali. Like, there's a couple that are sitting on... Or Bahrain, I think would be another good one. But you think, on the other hand, you've got to bin off Kota as a sprint. I wouldn't be too disappointed to see Qatar lose it if, like, Bahrain or Jeddah was getting one. Miami just needs to go in its entirety. But yeah, it's kind of, they've got to keep... It feels a bit odd that they kind of want to keep pushing these sprint races, but then, like we said, this year, only one circuit has changed. Austria to Belgium. The other five are the same, which is a little bit weird.
I still think if you mix up the quali format, it might help, because it's a shame just to have a watered-down version of Grand Prix quali and Grand Prix race.
This was my idea for sprints as well. What I would love to see them try once is that you have to start the Grand Prix on the tyres you finish the sprint race on. So if you're running further down the order, you can take the gamble and go for a late pit stop.
That'd be terrible.
Why?
Everyone outside Why would it be top terrible? 8 in the sprint race would pit for new tyres on the
Exactly. So then if you're an 8th, do you gamble it late on? Or does someone a bit further back try and hope that people in front gamble it and maybe you scrape a couple of points?
You forget, if the person in 9th would literally just go box opposite guy in 8th. And then you either pick up a point or you got fresh tyres for the start of the Grand Prix. I don't know.
Yeah, but then if you're further down, you could gamble it. You could gamble it, Jamie. I want to see him try it once.
But then your finishing position in the sprint outside the top 8 doesn't matter in the slightest.
No, because you then line up in your grid positions from the sprint.
Oh, so you want to go back to 2021 sprints?
Yeah, I want to go to 2021 sprints, but yeah, the tyres you finish the sprint race on are the tyres you have to start the Grand Prix.
There was a reason we changed from 2021 sprints, because the sprint racing was so safe, because no one wanted to risk their grid position.
Yep, and now you're going to be forced into risking your grid position if you want to start on good tyres.
But you're not risking anything by making a pit stop, are you?
But if someone further behind doesn't make a pit stop, and hopes for like a lap one safety car or something like that...
I don't like the idea at all.
I knew you wouldn't. That's why it's a good idea.
Okay.
Jamie!
Get me on the FIA board. Yeah, go ahead.
Big news. Colton Herta, IndyCar star, Cadillac Junior next year, or Cadillac Reserve, sorry, I should say, and hasn't technically been confirmed yet, but seems highly likely. He's going to be going to Formula 2.
Yes.
Now, for Formula 1, or the FOM, I should say, or the FIA, this is a huge win. For motorsport generally, it's a huge L.
It could work out.
No,
I think
it's bad.
Cadillac have done it quite well.
No, it's bad.
Why is
Formula
it bad?
Formula 1 have deliberately put... it's something mad. I got to double check this so I get this right.
You're going to talk about super license points?
I am going to talk about super license points.
Because there's so few for IndyCar.
Because there's so few for IndyCar, but I want to just get it right. So... if you... where's IndyCar? God. Oh, there we go. IndyCar. So, if you finish third in Formula 3, you get the same amount of FIA Super License points as if you finish third in IndyCar. That
so saying IndyCar's
blows
on a level
my mind.
Of F3.
It pretty much. Yeah, you do get a few more if you win IndyCar or come second in IndyCar. But they're saying, yeah, if you come third in IndyCar... if you come fourth in Formula 3, you get 5 more points than fourth in IndyCar. Which is insane.
That is mad. Yeah, yeah, but yeah, it is a shame, but equally, I know nothing about IndyCar at all, but have third place IndyCar people been in anything relevant in the previous years, really?
I need to go back and double check. I mean, obviously, a lot of them just stick with IndyCar nowadays.
Because you don't want is people just going to IndyCar, banking a few third places and then making their debut into a form where they're not prepared for it at all. Obviously, I'm not saying that of Colton Herta. I think he would probably do a good job already. But, I mean, the fact that Red Bull was sniffing around him at one point. So, Scott McLaughlin, for instance, finished third.
Sorry, who?
How do you say that name?
Scott McLaughlin.
McLaughlin. He's Australian.
Why are you Irish? Why are you doing an Irish accent?
Right. Anyway, this bloke.
And last year we've been cancelled again. Scott McLaughlin, one of the best Australian supercar drivers of all time.
No idea. But anyway, he
just
came,
don't
he
follow
came,
any other motorsport.
He came third in IndyCar last year.
Yeah, second ever IndyCar season.
Do I think that should be enough to make his debut in F1? Probably not. Should it be more than third in F3? Probably. I don't know.
You don't. That's the problem. Like I said, this is the big problem with it. That like I can understand from F1's perspective why obviously you want to prioritise your series points of getting drivers up the system. But when your F2 and F3 are so hilariously broken right now, and you're trying, I mean, you're trying to poach away. Like, I'm sure if this was Bernie back in the day, there'd be like a back end deal to try and get Palau out of IndyCar and into Formula One. But again, it's that weird thing, isn't it? Like, Alex Palou's junior Formula Series, because obviously he went up through like F3 and GP2, weren't that impressive. It's just, and the thing, like I said, the problem with this, of course, is that Cadillac now have been basically put in a situation where they've got to take a, you know, he's not the best IndyCar driver, but he's pretty highly rated. He's still quite young as well in Coulthard. His best seasons were probably sort of 2-3 years ago. He's kind of fallen off a little bit more recently. But obviously now he's got to then go back into a junior Formula Series to get a drive in Formula One, which I'm sure the FIA, like a Bond villain, are like, or Mr. Burns now are rubbing their hands together because it's absolutely worked the way they wanted it to. But it's still hilariously dumb.
It is a little bit, because he's 25, which, speaking as a 25-year-old, is very young.
I see, speaking as a fellow 25-year-old, I'm an old man.
But I don't think it's that bad for Cadillac, to be honest, because they've obviously got Bottas and Perez in for next year.
That's no, I don't think it's bad for Cadillac. I just think it's bad for motorsport generally.
Yes. And he's probably, I think Herta has to finish top 10 in F2 next year.
He needs reasonably, like 4 points.
As
he could do
as
like
F2
a Formula,
is.
He could genuinely do Chinese Formula 4.
Well, that's what Joe did to boost his super license.
Exactly.
In the day.
Was that boosted as, super license, or was that just for a bit of a laugh to make sure he was
up
to speed?
A bit of both, I think. But as dumb as F2 is, the top 10 drivers, as in, if you look at the bottom 10 in F2, or I guess it's the bottom 12, the top 10 are who the top 10 should be, if you get what I mean. If you're a quality driver, you'll end up somewhere in the top 10. So I kind of think that's okay. The only one I'd argue would be Gabrielli Mini, should probably be top 10.
Oh, here we go, Jim, with a Gabrielli Mini.
But the rest of them, as in, your top 10 in F2 is Fornaroli, Crawford, Vachon, Browning, Dunn, Marty, Lindblad, Stanek, Montoya, Martins. I'm a bit surprised Sebastian Montoya's there, but he's actually been quite good recently.
Yeah, he's had a few standout results.
But yeah, that top 10 are probably 8 or 9 of the best drivers on the grid. See, F2 is a bit dumb, but Fornaroli is obviously one of the better ones on the grid. He's also a rookie. I don't know. It's not as bad a barometer as we think. You look at, I mean, the two that came up this year, we spoke about it last week, Hadjar and Bortoleto, won F2 last year, first and second. And they are the best two rookies in F1 this year, compared to the likes of Colapinto, who came about 8th or 9th. Obviously, Behrmann and Antonelli, very high potential, but they're not quite there yet because they're both so young. Yeah,
where
I don't know.
Just double check last year.
Behrmann and Antonelli were both in the top 10, but I don't think they were that near winning it.
Were they near the... So Antonelli finished up 6th. Oliver Behrmann came 12th.
So Behrmann wasn't even top 10.
No, exactly. That's
and
why...
Arguably, I mean, he did bin off a race to go and race the Ferrari.
Are you suggesting he shouldn't have?
Well, I'm not suggesting he shouldn't have, but he was 10 points behind the next car. He already had 4 that he'd give away for the pole position. You think
he still
probably
lost
to
Colapinto by the end of the year, and Colapinto missed 3 rounds, I think?
Yeah. 4 rounds Colapinto missed, actually. Oh, Behrmann missed another one. He missed Baku as well, didn't he, to race the Haas?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It all gets a bit complex when you throw in absences and stuff, but yeah. I don't know. It's better than you think, I think, for judging drivers. So I think next year Herta will probably quite easily.
Do you watch Formula 2 anymore?
Yeah. I'm watching it this weekend.
Are you? Oh, of course you are. Yeah, I was going to say. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to watching it again, although it's still just farcical. But yeah, I mean, there's so many... I think the big thing is still, isn't it, with IndyCar in more recent years is, or trying to make the switch, is just how little testing you get is the problem. So I can understand it from that perspective. Obviously, you put them in a Formula 2 car. Yeah, it's not a perfect replica of a Formula 1 car or anything like that, but it at least kind of trains you up for more of the circuits. And things
yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
And I was listening to a podcast with Anthony Davidson on Beyond the Grid recently, and he was obviously a test driver for years. And basically, that meant, I think it was Malaysia 05 or 06, when one of the BAR drivers, I think it was Villeneuve, was unwell, or Sato, sorry, was unwell. And Davidson had to jump in the car last minute. But because he'd done hundreds of miles of testing that year,
thousands,
in that car,
yeah.
Thousands probably, that meant that he was well prepared for it. And yes, the car blew up on the second lap and he lost his chance of points.
And but he was well aware that was going to happen because he'd only ever done four laps ago. He just did 300 runs.
Yeah. Yeah. So that kind of thing. You know, he was well prepared for testing despite it being like his second race ever or something. But that luxury Herta won't have because they've binned off testing. Though he'll definitely be the Cadillac rookie in practice sessions next year, won't he?
Yeah, well, it just makes sense to you, doesn't it? And I think, obviously, you know, it will probably be whichever one of Bottas and Perez is worse after 2 years or after a year or two will get binned off.
Yeah.
Agree. Obviously, because I think they will want to put Herter in. The other fascinating one I saw was people were crying that Mick Schumacher apparently been given an offer to be Cadillac's reserve driver and do their WEC program, but apparently he denied it. Which they go like, Mick, it was the best chance you were ever going to get somewhere close to Formula 1 again.
But he won't get back on the grid.
He won't get back on the grid, no, unless like Bottas or Perez fell ill or something, had he been their reserve driver. But still.
That does take us onto the quiz quite nicely, though.
Does it? Okay.
It's not about Mick Schumacher. Thank God. You'd be glad to know. But it is kind of about Carlton Herta.
Okay.
Because he, since Formula 2 became Formula 2 back in 2017... Yep. There have been 6 American drivers.
Oh, I thought as soon as you started this, I was like, it's going to be American drivers, isn't it?
So, and this is American drivers who've entered more than one event, because there is one who's literally done one.
Yeah.
So you've got a minute to try and name
I've got
all
a
six.
Minute for Formula 2.
You're off.
Santino Ferrucci.
Yep.
Obviously, Jack Crawford.
Yep.
Logan Sargeant.
Yep, you're doing well. One of them left is currently racing. That should help.
You see, I'm trying to think now.
He's not racing very well, but...
No, he's like... is it Correa? He's like
Correa
half
is
American.
On there, but he's not racing this year, is he?
No. I don't know, I can't remember. I'm trying to think. Is Sebastian Montoya's got like a half license as well, doesn't he?
No, not him.
No. Oh, yes, of course. Max Esterson.
Yep.
Sponsored by iRacing.
One more. This is a slightly older one. You might struggle.
Yeah. I will know him as soon as you say him as well.
He's got a very American-sounding first name. 5 seconds.
Oh, like Hunter Miney. No, Hunter something, wasn't it?
Not Hunter. Less American.
Less Hunter. I'm going to know this as well as soon as you tell me.
He's called Brad.
Oh, Brad Benavida, because he's back in F3 now.
Is he?
He's back in F5 Formula 3. It's bizarre.
He did F2 about 5 years ago.
Yeah, I know. He's like 26 beating up 16-year-olds. People are going, oh, he got AOX's first ever podium. They're going, yeah, because he's a middle-aged man in Formula 3.
Oi, respect 26-year-olds. That'll be us soon.
Yeah, I know. But I'm not trying to get into Formula 3.
True. There you go. 5 out of 6. Not bad. And Carlton Herta will be on that list next year.
Probably. Well, he's not actually confirmed yet, but he probably will be. What else have we got to talk about? There's a new Ferrari livery, Jamie.
Yeah, it's rubbish.
It's good if there weren't HP logos slapped all
exactly.
over it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a lovely livery. That's the big problem. They just need to pay HP enough money to get rid of the blue. If it was a white HP logo, that would be great.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't be able to see the HP writing, would you?
But everything else on that car, so the Ray-Ban and whatever else. I know Shell have yellow still, but yellow works with the livery, but...
Shell has been so synonymous with them for so long, it kind of just works, doesn't it?
Exactly. And every other sponsor on that car has been made white. So why is HP, because they're a title sponsor and they're paying a lot of money, is definitely the answer.
Exactly.
They won't have their logo changed.
Yeah. It's a bit disappointing, isn't it? It's a great shame. But the only other thing I'm slightly confused about is the gold wheel rims as well. I'm not sure if I like those.
I just didn't notice that. I'll take a closer
look. I think they'll probably
look
all right when it's going, but it does look a bit weird in the static shots, in my opinion. Predictions.
Yeah, I did really well last week, and we skimmed over it.
Yeah, well, let's not remind us of that.
I'm currently 11 points clear.
Oh, that's so painful. The thing is, that can like pretty much immediately swing in about 2 race weekends.
Yeah, but it might not.
It probably won't. I mean, you won the first year we did this, and I've won three.
Every
two?
Year since, basically, yeah. I think.
So it's currently. I've won three now. I don't know if we did this in 21. I think we did do it in 21, didn't we?
We did in 21, because it was actually one guess is Max and one guess is Lewis every week.
Yeah.
51 to me, 40 to you.
Oh.
So that's pretty good going. Yeah. So you get to go first. Predictions for Monza.
I said Lando last weekend, which was looking so good, and then Oscar just did it. The thing is, I want to say Oscar now, because after I said Lando last weekend, and then like you'll say Lando, and then Lando will do better this weekend, and that's what annoys me. Oscar, Lando... I'm trying to think, what other high
speed... Ferrari on the podium.
Charles had a right of Spa, didn't he? Yeah, he won it last year. I can't see that happening. I'm trying to think of like other tracks similar to this. Spa, they were pretty good... Lewis Hamilton. I hate myself for saying it, but I'm gonna say it.
If that comes off, I a lot of respect, but I would be astonished.
Oh, so will I. I've got to believe. I hate myself.
What am I gonna do? I'll say Piastri as well on pole. Yeah.
And what? You can't say the same as me. That's boring.
Change it now.
Okay. I'd rather lose badly than
Norris
you just
on
say
pole.
The same
Norris thing. Win. Piastri yep. second. Verstappen yep. third.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Max, the Red Bull was very good at high speed this year. So,
was it?
Yeah, I think
fair
so.
Fair enough. Living on a bit of
they basically said that Zandvoort would be rubbish and then Spa would be great.
Fair enough.
To Red Bull. Not Spa.
Yeah, I suppose they did all right at Jeddah as well, didn't they? Early on.
Yeah, they probably should have won Jeddah.
There is that. They shouldn't have. Max can't drive wheel to wheel. And to be fair, do you honestly think that had Oscar not got past him in turn one, he would have sat behind him all day?
True.
Or do you just think that McLaren would have... Like, he literally got in front and then just controlled it, didn't he? He could have been 25 seconds up the road if he wanted to. I think in that one.
Max got pole at Silverstone on the low downforce setup.
Oh, he did, yes. Yeah, so he'll bin it again in the Grand Prix.
Because everyone else was on high downforce.
Exactly. Yeah, everyone else was aware that it was going to rain on Sunday. Have we got anything else to add, Jamie?
I don't believe we do. I think we've done very well. Who's going to win the championship? Let's do that.
It's going to be Oscar, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got to be Oscar. I was going to get excited for Formula 3 this weekend, and then I forgot the championship has already been wrapped up as well in that, which is a bit of a shame. But there we are. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like. Get yourself subscribed. Drop us a follow on Apple, on Spotify, on all that good stuff. Next week's show will be out a little bit later, I believe, because Jamie doesn't get home till quite late unless he wants... Why are you staying till Tuesday night?
Flights.
Fair enough.
Cheap flights. That's what you got to do.
So you're going to spend way more on the hotel to save a bit of money on the flight?
Not way more. I'd also rather be in Milan for an extra Fair day enough. If I could. Yeah. Like, why not?
I don't blame you. Who are you going with, out of interest?
Alex Chittuck. He's a bit of a mug. Massive Hamilton fan, so this will be good fun.
When Hamilton gets a podium now, it'll be glorious. Absolutely glorious. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. And yeah, Jamie and I will return at some point next week with our Italian Grand Prix review.